You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. Packers Talk.
Stymied. Every time you say stymie, I think of the little rascals.
Oh, was that an old show?
Al, yes.
When you were little?
Like you don't know, right? Stymied.
Did you tell Al? Did you
say
it in stymied? The theater?
Who uses the word stymie?
Well, I do.
You do, yes.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
I want to be a lifetime
Cheesehead
Green Bay Packer.
You're looking good today.
So let's go out there and whip that ass.
Aaron Rodgers is the best football player I've ever seen, ever.
Aaron Rodgers going deep on second and two. He's got a leaping Devontae Adams.
He's the best.
Defense is going to give a lot of teams struggles. We got a defense. Once again, we got a defense.
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. We're back once again with another episode of Cheesehead Radio, now in our 11th season. As usual, your trio of hosts tonight are the rapturous Kelly Hodgson, that Packer girl on Twitter. Also joining us is the imperturbable CD Angeli, TundraVision on Twitter, and little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. So coming up later in the show will be our Hot Pockets and our game predictions, but first, it's time for us to open up the Packers playbook.
The playbook.
All right, Cheesehead Nation, welcome back to Cheesehead Radio. The Packers got a win over a playoff team, a playoff contending team, a powerhouse running team. They didn't just get a win, though, guys, did they? It wasn't just a win.
CD, do you have anything you want to add to the conversation?
They clobbered them. Absolutely clobbered them.
CD, let's
target.
Why did that on target? What did Mr. Angeli say?
You're going to get blown up like that guy in Star Wars because you're not staying on target. You know, I did pick against him, and I think that there was a lot going against him this week. I'm very happy I was wrong. Happy to be wrong. But I think if you really think about it,
we don't need to think about it.
Well, I do. I what I said.
them.
What I said was, if the Packers were going to have a chance, they were going to have to take Henry out early and build a lead, putting the ball into Tannehill's hand and making him have to try to beat him instead of Henry, which they did. But that wasn't it. I mean, you're talking a game where they played, for the first time, three phases of the game for four quarters. It was amazing to watch.
Yeah, it was the very first clean game of the season. They didn't fall apart in the third quarter. I didn't have to worry about the defense getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And like you said, we stopped Derrick Henry. Wow.
Yeah, we did have a little hiccup on special teams yet again, but with a little bit of fortuitousness from the referees, none of it counted. But that would have been, that would have been could have been a real turning point in the game if you think about it, with the timing of that that block kick and the return and everything. So we were a little fortunate there. But still, we'll take the three phases. We're all overall in sync, and we'll take the great performance and the win, no doubt.
And J.K. Scott tackled somebody. Woo!
And did you see how excited he was?
He was really excited. It was an ugly tackle.
Of course, the guy just ran into him. It was like, there's a punter here.
I think he tripped over him would be more accurate.
Yeah.
He stopped him, though.
No, there was some, I don't know who it was, but there was a lineman that kind of had run all the way back and forced the guy inside, and then there was Scott just standing there and couldn't help but make the tackle. But he was psyched, like he just,
don't panic.
Well, guys, let's get into our playbook. As you know, we divide it up into four quarters. We got four topics coming your way. First of all, let's hit our first quarter.
We will rock you.
for the first quarter tonight. Let's just continue what we're talking about. The Green Bay Packers rocked the Tennessee Titans. This was a playoff caliber opponent. No penalties in the game. No punts in the game.
That's good.
Wow. Do we have more touchdown passes now than punts again? Because I remember that one game we had to play it a number of times.
Who knows?
And we did stymie MVP caliber running back. So what's the reason for this? Where did this level of competition come from that sometimes you don't see against lesser opponents?
Stymie. Every time you say stymie, I think of the little rascals.
Oh, was that, was that an old show?
Alex, yes.
That you when you were little?
Like you don't know, right? Stymie.
Did you tell Al? Did you
Who
see
says
it in
stymie?
The
Who uses the word stymie?
Well, I do.
You do, yes. And I think of that every time was my point. But anyway, back to Packers football. What were we talking about? I lost track now.
How we were just fabulous. Okay, let's just start with that.
Oh, yeah, okay. I remember that part.
We're playing up to our opposition instead of down to lesser competition.
Well, then we should just keep playing better competition, right? Isn't that the obvious answer?
Yes.
Well, I also think that now that they're playing for keeps, it's truly coming down to seeding for the playoffs. And they truly do want home field advantage all the way through. And they don't want to have to play the Bears again. So I think they're thinking it with playoff mentality right now. I think that's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers said that he had said in that really the playoff feeling had started the week before and against Carolina. They had that playoff feel. So they were already feeling it the week before the Titans. I think what this will do, though, especially with the snow, you know, and how the Titans had this great offense that really did nothing coming into Lambeau, and we stopped their best running back in football. I think that might solidify for anyone on the Packers team who wasn't sure how important coming through Lambeau would be. I think what happened, the conditions and the way the game turned out, I think that'll solidify for players 1 through 52, or is it 53, 1 through 53, that, you know what, we really need to beat the Bears so we don't have to go anywhere and we can just make people come here and play in these conditions. So I hope that's what happened.
And I think you're really seeing this crescendo starting to rise, too, where, yeah, maybe it started with Carolina, but now you actually had a playoff contender. Now, next week against the Bears, there's playoff implications, and then the playoffs. So, I mean, we're peaking, and people are coming on board at the right time. Preston Smith is a guy we were ready to bury earlier this season. There was the interesting story, and some people are, trying to draw some sort of equivalence to it. But Za'Darius Smith had gotten Preston Smith a new car for Christmas, and then they did a little stat comparison between before he got the car and after he got the car, and there's some of the feelings that maybe he wasn't feeling that connectedness to the team, that he was feeling a little bit like an outsider, and he certainly is playing like he's part of the team again. And that's a big piece. If Preston Smith is playing at full capacity and you've got Za'Darius Smith playing and we got Rashawn Gary with the new fronts that they're doing where they can run these guys in sometimes all three of them on the field at the same time, that's tough for a Travis Henry or a Ryan Tannehill to play again.
Derrick Henry, but yeah.
Yeah.
Point taken.
I'm going to say that every time too.
Who is Travis?
Yeah, who is Travis Henry?
Travis Henry was a running back for the Buffalo Bills back in the 90s.
Back when you were a kid.
Yes, I've also been saying Corey Dillon every time I want to talk about A.J. Dillon, too.
Yeah, I've resisted the urge to do that. But yeah, they're actually using Preston where he's better suited with a rush as opposed to making him pretend he's a tweener, because you put have him drop back and pretend he's Blake Martinez, it never works well.
Yeah, that was just a waste. I mean, honestly, that was just a waste of his talent, you know? I mean, and it's not like when you put him back there, he was really doing anything. It's not like in coverage he was actually affecting the play at all. He wasn't. It was just like you might as well put like a tackling dummy out there and just, sit it up there. And that's all it was. It was, I just couldn't understand why they kept doing that, why they kept thinking it was a good idea to do that. But I'm glad that it got turned around and somebody, whoever, came to their senses and they're not doing that anymore.
And it really just feeds into what we're seeing defensively. And, you know, since the Mike Pettine conversation, probably with some of his team captains, these five-man fronts, I mean, you're watching them come at the quarterback off the line of scrimmage. You're like, oh my gosh, this is so much better than those three-man rushes that we were having for a while.
Yeah, it's something that was talked about in a lot in the offseason, because at that time the question was, well, gee, Gary's got to play, but where are his snaps going to come from? You know, are they going to take Preston out for him? Are they going to take Za'Darius out for him? And the thought was, well, hey, why can't they have all three on the field at the same time and, you know, use them in different ways? And that's exactly what you're seeing. And you know what? It's working.
And I definitely want to see this lineup charge and flatten next week. It's going to be awesome.
If you can stop Derrick Henry, you're doing something right on defense.
And look at the, stats. He had 98 yards, which for anyone is a really good rushing game. But we held him to what seemed like garbage yards. It's like, well, we held him for 98. That doesn't sound like a great job. We kept him out of the end zone. This is a guy that could have hung 200 plus yards on us, and we stopped him.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of it was garbage time, you know, which they have to run the ball. I mean, yes, third quarter, fourth quarter, they're down. They got to run the ball because you got to vary it up a little bit. And yeah, the Packers gave him some yards in garbage time because it's not hurting you to give him 7-8 yards, and Tannehill still has to go back and pass. And then I'll tell you what, Tannehill, when he has 8 seconds to pass, he looked pretty good. Tannehill
only 8 seconds
when he had no time to pass. I'll tell you what, he was chucking that ball in any direction except probably where he wanted it to go.
Now think how glorious that'll be, but substitute the name Tannehill with Mitch Trubisky.
Well, I mean, this is blasphemous for saying it, but Trubisky has actually been playing pretty well the last few games.
Yeah, actually.
Now they have been playing garbage teams. All right. So, you know, both sides of the scale, I don't know which one weighs out more, but he actually has been playing much better. And the offense is very different than what we saw the last time they played. I think they started to figure out a few things, and I think they're tailoring things more to Trubisky now. And their running back, David Montgomery, has suddenly woken up. He was pretty much a real disappointment going halfway, you know, more than halfway into the season, and suddenly he's come alive. So it's a different Bears offense than we saw before. Not that it's something we should be tremendously concerned about, but they are going to be better than the last time we saw them. I think you can count on that.
It'd be really nice if we don't assume we have a win and come with the same intensity that we just had against the Titans. How's that sound?
Yeah. Perfect. That'd be nice if we can do that every time. Every game is come with that same intensity and will to win and swarming on defense. And yeah, I like it.
All right. Well, that's the end of the first quarter. Definitely, I'll call that a win so far. So we're 1-0.
Yes, sir. Well,
moving on to our second quarter, AJ freaking Dillon,
aka Corey,
the sauce, and it was his coming out party. He did not play like a rookie. Let me tell you that.
Well, he played like a rookie probably the first half of the season, and there were times he looked a little lost, and sometimes it looked like he wasn't hitting his holes. But it sure is interesting when Williams wasn't even dressed, and Jones, I don't know if you guys remember the play, he got hurt
early on.
Yeah, hip and went out, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we're down to A.J. Dillon. And he showed up to play. He showed up to play.
Release the Quadzilla.
You're talking about the play where he got hit in the back. It was a pass to him that he didn't even catch, but he still got hit in the back. Is that the play with Jones you're talking about, Aaron Jones?
And he went out, and we were kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, he was like grabbing his hip, and oh, no.
Yeah. Well, you know, what you saw with Dillon was his first two carries, he pretty much got nothing. And you're a little worried, right? You're like, oh, geez, you know, he may not see the field again. But he had to see the field again. And you know what? He broke one or two nice yards. And then you could just see the confidence building, right? The confidence building throughout the game. And he started to feel like, hey, I belong, you know, like I'm not just a rookie here. I belong out here with these guys and I can gain yardage on these guys. And to me, the first real indication was when the Packers had like a third and three or something, third and three, which is pretty much a situation that the Packers pass in like 90%+ of the time. Well, they handed it off to Dylan. He gets met head on by a linebacker right at the line of scrimmage, plows right through the linebacker, keeps moving forward, gets the 3 yards for the first down, gets up, you know, exuberant. Rodgers gives him a big nod, you know, and everyone's feeling good. And you could feel right there that was the confidence moment. You know, that was for him. Like, yeah, this is me. I belong here. This is what I need to be doing. So that was great to see.
And honestly, he had a game that I thought Derrick Henry was going to have. Yeah, he ran for over 100 yards. Not bad for a rook. 2 touchdowns, 21 carries. And he was averaging about the same as Derrick Henry does. He was getting almost 6 yards a carry. That is phenomenal for his first game of significance.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I think that this really, once again, we've had this conversation regarding Rashawn Gary and how we have some artificial GMs in the Twitterverse who seem to think they know better than Mr. Gutekunst. And of course, Rashawn Gary has blossomed this year and everyone's like, oh yeah, yeah, that was a great pick.
You hated that pick. What are you talking about?
Dylan is another one who people were just crapping on, you know, and have crapped on the entire draft. Why did we take a running back? And there were times too, we've been wondering all season, you know, Aaron Jones is running really, really well. And all of a sudden, you know, they bring in Jamal Williams to, you know, take that second drive, or they bring in Dylan to do that second drive. You're like, why don't we just keep feeding the ball to Aaron Jones? And then all of a sudden you have a game like this that says, well, you know, this is why you do that, because you don't know when Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams aren't going to be in the game. This guy's a stud. This guy's a good pick. Now, if we're looking at the possibility of not being able to resign Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams, I'm feeling a lot more confident about a running game next year if that's the case.
It looks like it'd be $12 million a year if we got the good guy discount to keep Jones, but more likely $15 million a year. So I'm assuming he's gone. My gut tells me we'll keep Williams and we'll keep Dylan, because I think we can afford both of them. But if Dylan continues to play like he did this past week, we may not miss Jones, even though he's one of the best in the league.
Yeah, it's tough, because I'm a big Aaron Jones fan.
Oh, I love Aaron Jones.
I want him to be with the team, because I think it's a great combination. I think Jones and Dylan, they complement each other so well. I don't think it works as well with Williams and Dylan, because they're a little too similar, whereas Jones and Dylan are just completely different running backs. But I think we're going to be looking at Dylan as the primary, and then, you know, they'll probably bring somebody in that's more Jones style, either draft somebody, you know, in second or third round, or as is the Packers way, find some undrafted free agent or whatever that's got a little more wiggle. But we'll see. You know, we're just speculating.
And it stood out to me, though he didn't have a whole lot, he's got good hands, too. Which, yeah, I think, well, he could slide into
one
that.
Pass, so,
well,
yeah.
it was something I would
can't
expect
really
to go
tell
to,
anything from that.
Small sample size, yes.
Small sample size of N, but it was a play that would have gone to Jones had he been in. It was not something I would see Williams doing.
Okay.
So I think we're seeing the future of the running game. And as much as I want Jones to stay, I think I'm okay if he walks, because I think we're well armed even so.
Yeah, I'm just afraid to say that because it's been one game.
I know, but
it's been one game.
Let's see how he does against the Bears.
But you know
what it was? As far as I'm concerned, it was a silence the critics game. So there's nothing that makes me happier than to see a kid on the Packers prove a lot of the haters wrong, and he did it. So amen, and hopefully he's just another weapon going into the playoffs. And that will conclude the second quarter. I'd say A.J. Dillon's another win, wouldn't you? 2-0 at this point?
Yeah, definitely. I think we're 2-0. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, we're going to go into halftime, and on the other side, we're going to talk about the triplets.
We are the three amigos. We are the three amigos. We are the three.
So we are back, third quarter. What are the triplets?
Amigos.
The famous triplets I think we all remember hearing about were Troy Aikman and Emmett Smith and Michael Irvin. If you remember, they call them the triplets, and that's that quarterback, running back, wide receiver combo in which they're all playing at this all-pro level. And yet, here we are looking at Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and Davante Adams. Right now, 2020, all three are playing at the top of their game. Is this the best trio of triplets we've seen in a single season? I mean, who is better? Who is better than this, than the 2020 version of the Packers? Who is a better version?
Well, we have some examples here, right? We've got Peyton Manning, Edgerrin James, and I can't remember his first name. What was Harrison's?
Marvin Harrison, yeah.
That's a pretty impressive one to me.
I don't know. I think I might put the Packers, this Packer triplet above them. Yeah, I know.
It's close. It's really close.
Because I'm looking at some of the on this list that we have that we'll go through that, yeah, we're below that, but we're above some of these. Maybe Manning and Harrison and James. I might, or at least even with that one.
Yeah, the next one we have is Culpepper, Smith, and Moss, which I think that doesn't even, you know, not up to par. Warner, Falk, and Bruce.
1999.
Fall short on the quarterback side.
But for a single season, not career. Single season.
I'm still not thinking flash in the pan on any of those. Yeah, I'm still going to put the Packers above. Because you compare Kurt Warner to Aaron Rodgers. No, Packers are top of them.
Okay. Then we have Elway, Davis, and Smith.
Now that's who beat them in the Super Bowl. They were good. I might put them above.
I think you fall short there with the wide receiver, Rod Smith. It's Rod Smith, right?
I think. Yes, I'm trying to picture jersey numbers.
Yeah. Rod Smith, yes.
Yeah. I don't think he's really up to par with Devontae. I mean, Elway, in his best year, you could say, was kind of up to par to Rodgers. Terrell Davis, definitely up to par
with
Adams. But I think the wide receiver is where they fall a little short there. But no, I'll say close. Yeah.
Well, and I'll throw this in. It was 1998. That was Elway's last year. He was good. He was serviceable, but he wasn't the guy he was when he was a young gunslinger.
That's true. That was the end of his career. Yeah,
serviceable.
You are right. So that I think that
maybe a step down. Yeah,
moves them down. Then I think that moves them down.
Yeah, but Aikman, Smith, and Irvin, as much as I hate that combination, and I can't stand Michael Irvin or Troy Aikman. They were good. They were really good.
Yeah.
1995 version, yes.
Aikman doesn't, you know, equate to Rodgers, but...
But Smith? Oh, my word. He was fabulous.
Smith and Irvin. Yeah, no, without a doubt. And Aikman, while maybe wasn't the quarterback that Rodgers was, he certainly knew how to run that team, right? And he certainly was successful at running that team and using Smith and Irvin. So I'll give them at least on par, maybe even a little step above of our triplets.
Okay. So we're willing to say that Rodgers, Adams, Jones might be the best triplet set since 1995.
Possibly.
Well, you keep going down your list.
Keep going.
Right?
There's some really good choices next.
You got Kelly, Thomas, and Reed, Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas and
Andre Reed, 1991.
And remember, this is when the Bills were actually good.
That's when they were to five Super Bowls.
Yeah, that was a really tough offense. A really tough offense.
Yeah. Close. I'll give the close. Now, the next one's interesting.
This one's very interesting.
Montana, Craig, and Rice.
At their peak.
1989.
Montana, Craig, and Rice. The one obvious difference there is Craig, right?
Right.
Roger Craig does not equate to our
Aaron Jones.
But I will say that Devontae is starting to be mentioned in rarefied air with Jerry Rice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's not at the level, but certainly
he's getting there.
He's getting there. Mm-hmm. Right? He's getting there. And of course, Montana, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Right.
Very different quarterback than Rodgers, but still, I'd have to give it to them for historical grace, even with Craig in there. Because I always felt like Craig was a little underrated. I thought
he really made a lot of big plays for that offense, but he wasn't as talented as Aaron Jones.
Right.
But they didn't need him because you had Jerry Rice. Yeah. That's the thing. And you knew it was going to go in the and it was fun to watch.
And I'll be honest, when people ask me, who do you think was the best quarterback of all time? I don't say Peyton Manning and I don't say Tom Brady. I don't even say Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. I always say Joe Montana. I mean, he was Joe Ice in his veins, Montana. He was, he really was the best. And, you know, do I put Montana right now above Aaron Rodgers? I don't know. As a career so far, yes. Although Aaron still has to complete his career, but boy, when Montana was at his peak and Aaron Rodgers this season at his peak, that's some rarefied air to be even mentioning those two in the same breath as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And finally, the original triplets from 1982.
Oh, way
exciting,
back.
Those exciting San Diego Chargers from the day. High-powered offense with no defense to match. But Dan Fouts, Chuck Muncy, oh, gosh, what was Chandler's first name?
That's the one I can't remember. I can't remember any of the wide receiver names for some reason.
This is the one team where it's really on my cusp of awareness of football because I really didn't start following football till partway through middle school, and this was just at the beginning of it. Like around that era, it's like I remember
Les Tim Chandler.
West
That's
Chandler,
what it is.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, so I'm not as familiar just because I wasn't following because I was 11. But this is about a year or two before I really started following football. But yeah, they were just phenomenal.
When we were out on the playground and we were playing, you know, football, you know, in middle school at you know during recess or whatever. I mean, everyone argued over who got to be Chuck Muncy. You know, that's how good he was at that time. He was the running back. He was the electrifying running back of the time, which combined with the Air Coryell offense of Dan Fouts and John Jefferson, Wes Chandler, everyone else, that was a fun offense to watch.
See, in that era, we must have been the Bad News Bears because we were always the Packers. My friend Amy was John Jefferson and I was James Lofton. And then our friend Phil was always Lynn Dickey.
So the interesting thing about all of these triplets that we've mentioned, you know, not all of them have won Super Bowls, and I think that adds a little bit to their legend. So you talk about Aikman, Smith, Irvin. Obviously, they won a Super Bowl in 95. Montana, Craig, and Rice won that Super Bowl in 1989. Go back to Kelly, Thomas, and Reed for the Buffalo Bills. Well, of course, that was the four Super Bowls they played in a row and didn't win any of them. So, you know, that does tarnish their star a little bit, whereas, you know, Elway, Aikman, Montana, Warner, Manning – all came away with the brass that year. So that does kind of put them up in that level, I guess, of success. What happens if Aaron Rodgers and this group wins the Super Bowl this year? That maybe helps their triplet legend, I guess, as well.
But look at Elway. Didn't he didn't win a ton of rings, and we're still holding him in high regard. Well, but yeah, I agree. Rodgers needs another ring to be really considered in that upper echelon without any question. You know, is he a first year All Pro Hall of Fame? Yeah, absolutely. But there's still that cloud over said, well, he only has one Super Bowl ring. As if people forget that it takes the entire team to win a Super Bowl, but it always seems to be hanging over the quarterback's head. Yeah, I think if they win another one, yeah, our triplets would be really in that list without question.
Hey, before we move on, I was just curious about Wes Chandler. So I looked him up in 1982, right?
The Wayback Machine.
1982, he had, listen, 49 reception, 1,032 yards, 9 touchdowns, right? He averaged 129 yards per game. Now, here's the kicker. He had 1,000 yards in receiving that year. He only played 8 games. Wow. He missed half the season.
With those stats?
49 catches, 1,032 yards, and 9 touchdowns in 8 games.
That is remarkable.
He averaged 129 yards a game. That was his average. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, had Sterling Sharp stayed in the league, what were his stats? Would they be something like that?
If Sterling Sharp had a full career, he'd be mentioned with Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
I've said that forever, and I truly believe it.
And speaking of Sharp, I think this is the year that Devontae steps out of his shadow.
Yeah.
Because everyone's looking at the stats that he hung, the records he's had, and they're getting broken.
All right. Well, Al, before we end this quarter, you want to take us through some of the records? I think this is why we talk about the triplets. Both Devontae and Aaron have some pretty big marks that they can set with this game against the Bears.
Yeah, well, I guess since we were talking about wide receivers and Sterling Sharp and Devontae Adams, let's go to Devontae Adams first, right? So Adams enters week 17 with a chance to set three new single-season Packer records. Currently, he's got 109 catches, 1,328 yards, and 17 touchdowns. Adam needs four catches to set the record for most catches in a season, which is certainly doable. He needs 192 receiving yards to set that record, and that's, you know, not so doable. And he needs two touchdowns to set the new franchise record, which is certainly doable. So I think he's got a decent chance. He's great chance in one, a decent chance in two, and a real outside chance in the third one. But just imagine being that close to all-time season records for a team in the same year.
And missing 2.5 games in the process. Imagine if he had been there for those 2.5 games, we wouldn't even be talking about
whether he was saving that one, but forgot to go back to it. All righty. So that's Adams. Rodgers.
And Rodgers is going to be very well aware of these records that Adams could break. So you know he's going to target him because that's just what Rodgers does sometimes.
Oh, it's going to do that regardless, yeah. But and speaking of Rodgers, what he has a chance to do is this year he has 13 games with a passer rating of at least 100, which ties an NFL record, the same one he set in 2011. If he has another game with a 100 passer rating against the Bears, he will break his own record for most 100 rated games in a season.
So if 2/3 of the triplets are looking at major records, that just shows how out of this world they're playing this year.
Yeah. Not that we needed the records to tell us that, but yeah.
But those are nice little
things. Confirmation, yeah.
For those of you that like numbers, there are the numbers.
Now, mind you, Aaron Rodgers does hold the single-season passing rating record in 2011. That was a 122.5, which just seems amazing to think about nowadays. He's actually sitting at 119.4. I think he would need he'd probably have to throw 60 out of 60 passes on Sunday to beat it. But
what's the maximum number? What's the highest number again? Does anybody remember?
It's like 154, 157, somewhere in there.
Yeah, so I don't even that I don't think would do it, right? Over that many games, it's just not enough to move the average that much. But so anyway.
All right. Well, that's going to bring us to the end of the third quarter, talking about those three amigos, the triplets, and all the excitement that we're hoping to see from them on Sunday. We're going to take it now to our fourth quarter, and of course, we got to talk about this.
Well, wait. Are we calling that a win?
Oh, yeah. I think that's a win, don't you?
Yeah, we just did a double dip.
Yeah, I think it's actually two wins.
We just did a double dip. We won at the end of the second quarter, and we won the third quarter.
Yeah, I think actually the third quarter there's two wins, because we not only do we have the triplets, we also have all the records. I think that's two wins.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely.
The statisticians are not going to like this.
No, they're not.
We're going to mess them up here.
It's the only way that Rodgers is going to break his record. It's the only way we can break ours, too. We just got to cheat and talk about a couple different things. Little south side of Chicago. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the fourth quarter here. And we're playing against Chicago, and obviously the oldest rivalry in the NFL. But, you know, I remember writing that article for Cheesehead TV's draft guide a couple years ago. So much history, but there's been that struggle because the rivalry has been so one-sided over the last, 30 years? I mean, Packers have won, 17 out of, you know, every 20 games at this point. But it seems like when there's something on the line, and we were kind of reminiscing today about that NFC Championship game in 2010 before the Packers went to the Super Bowl, how close that game got when Jay Cutler went out and Caleb Haney came in and he started playing well. And it was only a 7-point game. and, you know, took a last-minute interception from, you know, last-minute interception. B.J. Raji and Shields, I think, got some interceptions at the end of the game, held them off. It was a great game. And now we have a game in which both teams really do have something to play for. The Packers can clinch the number one seed with a win. The Bears make the playoffs if they win. Now, there are some other ways that either team can lose, but if, you know, Seattle loses, we still get the number one seed. If Arizona loses, the Bears still make the playoffs. But really, the Bears and the Packers control their own destiny for their own goals going into this game. So there's a lot on the line. This is exciting.
And it's a Bears week.
Absolutely.
It's meaningful, and it's Bears week. You can't, in the last game of the season, you can't ask for more than that.
It's like playing for all the marbles, even though we're in the playoffs already. It just feels like this is the perfect rivalry heading into the playoffs. The excitement is there. The energy is there. And I really, really don't want to play the Bears again in the playoffs. So let's get it done right now and just get it over with tomorrow.
Yeah, there are several scenarios. If the Packers do lose, they would potentially drop to the number two or number three seed. And in both of those scenarios, playing the Bears again next week in that wild, that extra wild card round, would be a possibility. So they would have to possibly play the Bears back to back. And I don't want that. I mean, whether they're an easy team or not, you never like to play a game three times in a season.
Didn't we have to do that a few years ago against the Vikings? Of like, they were the end of the season. And, oh, look, we get to play the Vikings next week again.
Yeah, it's never fun. It's never fun. So the Bears, if the Bears lose, they can still make the playoffs, though.
They can.
Yeah, if the Cardinals lose, they're in. So the Bears actually, Cardinals are playing the Rams, which you can never figure out the Los Angeles Rams. So
no, it's like either the good Rams or the evil Rams. You never know.
Yeah, so it's impossible to call that game. But so the Bears have two chances.
And it looks like Kyler Murray may be out, too. Looks like he was injured.
Oh, is that right?
He was hurt, yeah.
Yeah, if he's not playing, I sure wouldn't put any money on Arizona to win. So
yeah.
The Bears probably have an awfully good chance of making the playoffs.
Regardless. Oh, that sucks.
However, in 2011.
I hate that.
Yeah, but it was so much fun beating them in 2011.
I don't care. I want no success. No success for our division rival. Although, you could take this approach, right? If Trubisky leads them to the playoffs, they may decide that they have to keep him.
I think they're already thinking that.
They may decide that they have to keep him, extend him a couple of years, and that would make me happy.
He can get in his head for years to come, which is always delightful.
Because although he's had a good couple of games, they've been against garbage teams and with bad defenses. So I'm not believing it.
Like, do you remember the Swagger a couple years ago? And he's like, I'm the best cornerback in the NFC North. And we're like, okay, whatever.
No, he didn't say that. But Bears people were saying that.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah. So just as a future reference.
Trubisky didn't say that. Let's be fair.
But there, okay, he was the source of many memes. But it's fun when the Bears lose. For future reference, if they lose, head over to WindyCityGridiron.com to watch them eat their young.
You know, and I'm going to slightly disagree, and I may take some heat for this.
Shocker.
I hate the Vikings, and I never want them to have any success. Absolutely hate them. I could care less about the Lions because they're essentially a non-entity and have been for the last, 50, 60 years. There's something about the Bears, though. I hate the Vikings. I love to hate the Bears. So
you hate the Bears.
You do.
It's a fun rivalry. I just hate the Vikings, but you love to hate the Bears.
What's the Vikings difference?
Okay, I've said this before. I live an hour from the Minnesota border. Oh my God, I hate the Vikings and I hate their fans more because they're obnoxious.
All right, but let CD finish because I don't understand what he's saying here.
My point is, I love to feed the rivalry. And this is the most meaningful rivalry as far as I'm concerned in the NFL. So there's a point where I want the Bears to have some success just so we can knock them off, if that makes sense, because there's nothing that means more to me than them having that success, us being able to play meaningful rivalry games, and then just snatching the dream away from them at the last minute. We've done that many times, especially Aaron Rodgers has done that many times over the last 10 years.
Wouldn't that be more hurtful to the Vikings to do that to the Vikings if you hate them so much?
Now the Vikings are you can't, okay. You
isn't
can respect,
that a better form of hate?
No, you can respect the Packers Bears rivalry. I've got no respect for the Vikings. We're not talking about the rivalry.
We're talking about the team.
Okay.
I'm talking about the rivalry.
I can't respect the Vikings. If they lose and they're out of there was major schadenfreude when they didn't make the playoffs. Okay. It's like, oh, pity. Ha ha. Too bad. So sad. Have fun with Kirk Cousins. How much is that boat anchor holding down your cap space?
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, the Minnesota Vikings can have 2 or 3 win seasons every season, and I'll be very content with that. because I just don't like them. I don't like their fans. The Bears, though, when they play, I want the NFL, I want the nation to look at this rivalry and say, ooh, this is the class of the NFL. This is the classic rivalry of the NFL. And in order to have that, you've got to have some border hatred for each other. You got to have some meaningful games that we've lost and we got bad blood and we're ready to go get some revenge, and that's the only way you get that. So
that's how good the rivalry is. Mm-hmm.
And Rodgers is 20-5 against the Bears, that's been kind of one-sided. I would like them to win. I plan for them to win this weekend, but I hope it's a tough game, and I hope it's when we pull out the last second and just pull the rug out from under them and stun them, because those are the most satisfying wins I have.
Okay.
All right.
If that makes you happy.
It does.
Okay.
And that'll take us to the end of the fourth quarter. I would say out of the four quarters, we got 5 wins, wouldn't you?
You know, just like we played a complete game, just like the Packers, we dominated from start to finish. So it's appropriate, I think.
It's synergy. We're playing more than the sum of our parts. That's how we can have 5 wins this week.
Yes.
Just like the Packers did last week. So, excellent. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for our Hot Pockets. All right, we've reached the point in the show where each of us get a final moment to get up on our soapbox and read you the riot act of whatever's going on inside our heads. This is our Hot Pockets. Jersey Al Bracco, as always, we'll start with you.
Okay. While I've never been one screaming, fire Pettin, I certainly have been critical of some of his game plans. So to be fair, I have to rise and give him a standing ovation on this one. He dared the Titans to beat them in the air, playing 4, 5, and even some 6-man fronts. Keeping Henry from being able to break things outside was also an obvious part of the plan, and a great job was done there by Gary and the Smith brothers holding the edge, playing Amos in the box more, and giving Vernon Scott his highest snap total of the season showed an emphasis on tackling over coverage. And finally, getting his team to buy in on wrapping up and swarming to the ball was just the icing on the cake. So I just have to say, well done, Mike Pettin. And that is my
Hot Pockets.
The Green Bay Packers have surpassed all expectations that any of us had for them in 2020, yours truly included. With the win over the Bears, the Packers finished 13-3 in Matt LaFleur's first 2 seasons. Now, if you remember all the wailing and gnashing of teeth over not bringing in every single free agent that was available, or drafting for what we perceived the needs were, or that Aaron Rodgers was on a downslide, there's a lot of flapping yaps that have been justifiably shut this year. But there is a reality bomb waiting on the horizon. The Packers presently rank 30th in available cap space in 2021, negative $25 million. That means that next year's team is going to end up looking awfully different as contracts are adjusted and players will have to depart to accommodate these big contracts that Brian Gutekunst has handed out. I can hear the Twitter GM starting to wail about how all is lost for next year already. And the reality is there's a lot of question marks as we enter a year of cap hell. What that means right now is that Packer fans should be enjoying every second of this playoff run. I don't know if we even deserve a team this good with all the crappy entitled fanning we've done over the last several years, but here we have it, our best chance to win a Super Bowl in the last 10 years, and maybe our best chance we could have in the next 10 years. Now, lightning don't strike the same spot very often, gang, so let's all get on board and go all in on these 2020 Packers. Cheer like there's no tomorrow. And that is my
Hot Pockets.
Hey, Packer fans, Remember how you were all bellyaching last spring that we didn't draft a wide receiver and that was a sign of end of times? Or how we didn't have a tight end of substance on the roster and you were still pining for Jared Cook? Or how the Packers were never going to be a ground team? Or how you got your undies in a bundle when they drafted A.J. Dillon? Well, it looks like Quadzilla and the rest of the team are getting the last laugh. Even with Funchess opting out for the year, the Packers are just fine. Devontae Adams may just be the best wide receiver in the entire league, and you are the same knuckleheads that wanted to run him out on a rail in his second year. And we just witnessed the Sauces, that's his nickname, A.J. Dillon's coming out party this past Sunday. The Packers have a complete offense this year to complement Aaron Rodgers. They're dangerous in the air, and they're dangerous on the ground. And it's the most complete O-line we have had in a decade. Instead of second-guessing Brian Gutekunst, maybe the words you're looking for are, I'm sorry. And that is my
Hot Pockets
Cheesehead Radio Packer Game Predictions.
All right, gang. The Green Bay Packers are playing for the number one seed. Who would have dreamed it? While the Bears are playing to make a playoff spot. Who would have dreamed that? Really, is there any better way to start 2021 than with a rivalry game like this? The Packers are opening up as 5.5-point favorites on the road in Soldier Field for the Sunday afternoon tilt. How do we see this one going? Kelly, we'll start with you.
Okay. It's Bears week. It only comes twice a year. Well, that is if we get the playoff seeding right. I really don't want to play them a third time. Let's get it done the first time around. Rodgers knows how to get it done in the Windy City. Packers 28, Bears 24.
Okay, a division game with everything on the line for the Bears means you can forget about an easy glide into the first seed for the Packers. The Bears will have nothing to lose and will play like it. But despite all of this, if the Packers play anywhere near last week's level, they will win this game, get a week off, and not have to travel again until the Super Bowl. The Packers will win a hard-fought battle in Chicago, and the score is going to be 31-26.
Well, gang, as excited as I was for the Titans game, I'm actually more excited for this Bears game. It just seems when something is really on the line in this rivalry, the game gets way closer and more intense than it needs to. Luckily, the Packers almost always come out on top, and I don't think Sunday is going to be any difference. Packers 24, Bears 20.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio in our 11th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying, Play Packers Talk Podcasts. That's a wrap. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. Beat the Bears.
Go Pack Go, everyone. See you next week.
Cheesehead Radio.
Week and it only comes twice a year. I don't want to see them a third time with all the permutations of the seeding for the playoffs if we don't clinch the first round or the first seed. Let's get it done the first time around.
Do you want to try starting that one over?
Yeah, so I tripped over myself.
Let's try that. Right. Take a breath. Just read
I'm
the words.
Looking at how you guys made my little tiny font that I'm going to leave little tiny. I shouldn't look ahead.